Another question here? Matthew 19:28.
I guess a further explanation of that one.
19:28.
Talks about disciples or the apostles ruling over the house of the tribes of Israel. Over God's people.
Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, of course, you know what regeneration is right here. It's born again. That's what it means. And you who have followed me in the born again experience, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So, he was the first time he said that, of course, it was to the Jews who were born again, right? But once again, it's very possible that in our day, that it's true again. I'm not saying, folks, that there were only 12 apostles in that day. But did you know, because there's not. Actually, if you read in the Bible, the word apostolos, and translate it the same way every time in the New Testament, you find out that there's about 24 apostles mentioned in the Scriptures. That's right. So go look up the word apostolos and follow it through the Scriptures. You'll see what I'm talking about. There are 24, not 12. The first 12 were, of course, Jews. And but everything that happened unto them is also happening to the New Testament church. So out of Judaism, God brought forth 12 patriarchs, just as he did out of Israel in the beginning. Remember Israel? Jacob brought forth 12 patriarchs, which was the foundation for the nation of Israel. Now Jesus brought forth 12 patriarchs. It's the foundation for the ecclesia, the church. And in a way, Jesus is Israel, right? And in our day, I believe that there's probably, you know, people say that the Apostle Paul was supposed to be the 12th apostle, but that's not true. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And when they cast the lot in the book of Acts, and Matthias was chosen, even in the Bible code, Matthias is listed with the 11. But when they were praying, that's right, in fact, I can tell you where it is. It's in Isaiah 65. It mentions Jesus and 12 apostles. Matthias is there in the Bible code, and Judas is not. But remember what they did when they cast lots. They wanted somebody to replace Judas. Well, why would they replace Judas? Why not just make another apostle? And they had a condition for this apostle. It had to be somebody that went in and without and went out with them and saw Jesus Christ personally and heard his teachings. That's who they chose. So there is something particular about the first 12. They are witnesses of Christ himself and his teachings. And the rest of the apostles that were chosen in the Bible, the apostolos, which I think sometimes it is translated messenger, okay? The rest of the ones were not necessarily people who had actually personally known the Lord in the flesh. And so the first 12 were chosen that way. Now what would divide up the last 12? I don't know. I haven't gotten a word from the Lord on that. It would just be a thus saith the Dave, you know? So I don't really know about that. I will ask the Lord about it, because I am curious. But notice something that is said in this text that a lot of people don't believe. They don't believe that the apostles were actually born again. But the word regeneration means exactly that. It is translated from the words that mean born again. Again, birth. If you want to translate it exactly right, again, birth. And so they were born again when they walked with Jesus. He said, "You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." But not all. Speaking of Judas, right? So, some people say that you... And by the way, I'm going to point out something to you folks. They were born again, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. He said, "You receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you." They hadn't received the Holy Spirit, but they were born again. Some people say when you get saved, you automatically get the Holy Spirit, but that's not the truth. Not biblical at all. Go back and read my book, Sovereign God, For Us and Through Us. I give a lot of proofs in there concerning that. There are many proofs concerning that. And Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "The Holy Spirit is with you. With you, and He shall be in you." But they were clean through the word which He had spoken unto them. I think that's John 13. They were born again from the word of God, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. If you've been born again, but you haven't received the Holy Spirit with the corresponding signs, the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit, several of which God has chosen for you, then you need to diligently desire, earnestly desire, the gifts of the Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes with signs following. And the Holy Spirit comes with the gifts. So, don't accept that old doctrine that was passed on to you from non-Spirit-filled churches. That's where it came from, folks. In fact, let me tell you, you can't believe a lot of what they say. The Holy Spirit is given to lead you and guide you in all truth. Most of what they tell you is just dead wrong. If that's where you got a lot of your theology, start reading the Bible again. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and read the Bible again. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in truth. He will give you understanding concerning the doctrines of Scripture. And, you know, like we were saying a while ago, Jesus said you'll know the truth will set you free. If your truth isn't setting you free, it's not the truth. See, so you need to research the Bible. Get filled with the Holy Spirit, because He's going to show you the truth. And, He's going to cause you to walk in His steps. Something else there? Sure.
Yeah. A lot of people are asking for your Bible Code software you have. And I just found it. It was at one time called Bible Codes 2000. Now it's called Bible Codes Plus. They changed the name of the software, but it's the same software.
Same
software.
Oh.
It's just a new change. I mean, they may have updated the interface, but it's still the same software.
I got you.
Same search engine.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about the Bible Code, folks. I know some of you are real interested in that. Maybe want to search it out. Be careful what you accept out there that's been found in the Bible Code. Now, I'm not saying the Bible Code is wrong or that it's bad. Nobody could have put that there but God. It is definitely there. I mean, I messed with the Bible Code enough to see that it's impossible that God didn't put that there. The devil didn't sneak in there and put some code in the Bible, you know, folks. It was written there by God. But the Bible Code is just like the rest of the Bible. The Bible itself will deceive you if you don't love the truth. You can pick out pieces of scriptures and doctrines there and put together whatever you want. But only those that love the truth are going to be able to put it together or assimilate it together in such a fashion as that they will understand truth, you see. If you take a verse here and a verse there, you can make any kind of doctrine. The Bible Code's the same way, folks. You take a word here, a word there, you can make it say something. It's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. A crossword puzzle. You know how a crossword puzzle is? You're putting words in there. As you get the revelations, you put the words in there. Suppose you leave half of those blank. Well, then there's a whole different message there. One of the great revelations recently that happened was there was a Bible code that said that America and Russia and China were all going to be in a nuclear war. And it was going to happen in the year 2000. Well, there was just one word left out that changed the whole meaning there. It was the word delayed. Delayed. See, if you leave out one word there, you don't have the truth, do you? It was true that God was threatening, but it was also true that He delayed. And you know the rest of the Bible's the same way. You just leave out one little text there, folks, and you got a lie. Because the sum of thy words is truth. So basically, the Bible code is doing the same thing the Bible's doing. It's deceiving people that don't love the truth, and it's giving knowledge and wisdom to people that do. Isn't that interesting? There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that God put the Bible code there. You know, people say, well, you can have skip sequences in War and Peace and any other book you pick up. That's true. But you can't find long skip sequences with many letters stretched out over a long... That is impossible. Not possible. And that's the way the Bible code is. If you especially use the Old Testament, where the scribes were professional and had all their rules and regulations about counting every center letter of a text and all these things to make sure that they didn't make a mistake and copy something wrong. You know, all these rules that they, stringent rules that they put upon themselves. The Old Testament, it's easy to find Bible codes in there. It's easy to find them. And the reason I know the Bible codes from God is I got words of knowledge that God told me to go look up in the Bible code. When I looked them up, I found exactly what the Lord told me there. Especially concerning types and shadows. You know, the Lord would tell me, why don't you search to see if this type and shadow is here? And I would search, and sure enough, it was there. Because I already knew that the type and the shadow was the truth. You know, like the Shulamite. Or like, Esther. The book of Esther. When she put on her robes and stood before the king. I saw there a type of the man-child. He'd caught up to the throne. So I did a search for man-child. Sure enough, it was in the text. You know, it's neat how that God links beneath the letter of the word there so many different things in the Bible code. And yet sometimes what's on the surface fits in with what's written underneath. It's very neat. Only God could do that. There are people that are saying that the Bible code's not a God and all these things. They don't know what they're talking about. I mean, I know from the word of knowledge that the Bible code's of God. He put it in there. But again, you can prove anything you want to prove. I read in one lady's Bible code research that she was confirming that the Catholic Church was the church. But it's like leaving out a few words, you know. Like that delay. You can just leave out one or two words and the whole meaning is reversed. Let's see. So, you have to be careful, and you have to be willing to ask. I remember one researcher who found that the Lord was coming on Rosh Hashanah, and it was, September of 2001. And I contacted that researcher, and I said, "Did you search this text for delay? Because this ain't going to happen." He said, "Yeah, I did search it for delay." I said, "What'd you find?" He said, "I found the word in there." I said, "How come you don't have it here? How come you don't have it here? It's just a deception." You see, it's like that. The Bible code can be very deceptive. But then so can the clear text of the Word of God be very deceptive. somebody doesn't love the truth. Well, I don't spend a lot of time in the Bible code, but I'd rather hear the voice of the Spirit. Because He tells me things I don't even have to look them up. You know? I love the Word. You have something else up there?
Yeah. Well, do you believe that Bibles will be confiscated during the tribulation?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think that that some books will become very useful in the tribulation period. I believe that some books will not be taken up, but Bibles will. I believe the Lord's shown me that. I think some books that have a lot of Bible in them will still be circulated, even when the Bible is not. And I think history has proven that too. You know, throughout history, people have tried to destroy the Bible. But other books, they were more lenient with. So I think we're coming back to that. I do. That's why we need to put the Word of God in our hearts. You know? And that's a time when books that have a lot of the Word of God in them will be very useful.
Going back to the question on John 21:7, Brad wanted to know why Peter was naked and why he jumped in the water when he heard Jesus was near. I was thinking that maybe it symbolized not walking naked and always staying in the Word.
Well, that's a good point.
Lest Jesus return and find you naked.
Yeah, that's what the Word said. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Getting in the Word, right? Good point.
Yeah. Isn't that clothing yourself with Jesus when you get in the Word?
Well, I don't think the word for naked there means totally naked. I think I looked it up one time in another case and found out that it didn't necessarily mean that. It just meant not having his outer garment on, you know. But I think quite often they went fishing in loincloths and stuff like that. You know? But there's a lot of Bible code in this. I mean, in that text, as a matter of fact, in John 21, let's see. Verse 6, where it says, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find." The gematria there is 153 times 27. 153, if you remember, there are 153 fishes a little further down. Verse 11, 153 fishes. Well, all through this text, is divisible by 153, which is very unusual. It ties things together. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you shall find. That has to do with Christianity, folks. Bringing in the people of God. They therefore... And now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Multitude of fishes there is 153 times 16. See, God's got all kinds of codes. The Bible is so deep and so awesome. You'll never get to the end of it. And if you go down to verse 11, for instance, where it says, "Simon Peter, therefore, went up and drew the net, the land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, the net was not rent." Now, let's see. Drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. That, the gematria for that is 153 times 54. And in the middle of this, the net to land full of great fishes is 153 times 8. There's 153 the visibility all the way through. The 153 is talking about the people of God, the elect, the people that are chosen. And it goes all the way through the New Testament, too. There's lots of 153s there hidden underneath the text. It's a wonder. Every time you see something above the text, like a number like that, it has a meaning that keys to things underneath.
There's also a simple thing, too, that like Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that I did not lose one that you gave me. I mean, the fish are like men.
Yes.
And they didn't lose one that Jesus gave them. And the net held them like it's supposed to.
Yes. I've often wondered if 153 here may not be the number of the nations in the end time. Now, I know there's a few more than that now. But I think there's something like maybe 191 nations now. But before the end, there may not be 191 nations. Because as you know, there's going to be great wars all the way through the tribulation period. Nations conquering nations, bringing them to their subjection, and so on and so forth. I don't know. You know, it's a possibility that 153 has a deeper meaning here. You know, because obviously the net is going to cover all nations, and God's going to gather a people out of all nations. It's like He gathered Israel out of all nations, right?
There are just saying there's 153 times people were blessed by Jesus in the Gospels.
All right.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Toward the end, is America going to be put in a position where she cannot come to Jerusalem's defense?
I totally believe that. Matter of fact, I am convinced that America and all the other nations, He said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. I know that there's a spiritual type there, but there's also a physical one. And I'm convinced that what people call the Battle of Armageddon is the beginning of a much bigger war with a lot larger scope. It's going to cover the world. It's a battle, but it's a war. And Armageddon just happens to be one battle in a war. And all those nations that are gathered there together are going to be divided. Just like Zechariah says. The Lord is going to go forth and fight against those nations as He fought in the day of battle. Well, we already know how He fought in the day of battle because in Jehoshaphat's time, God brought three nations as one against Israel. And God divided those three nations, the king of the north, king of the south, kings of the east. He divided them and they destroyed each other. And God saved Israel that way. Well, this is what's going to happen again, except on a larger scale. All the nations are going to be gathered together as one. Kings of the north, kings of the south, kings of the east. And God's going to go forth, according to Zechariah chapter 14, He's going to go forth and fight against those nations as He fought in the day of battle. And it was said in Jehoshaphat's time that you will not need to fight in this battle. I'm going to fight in this battle. This battle is not yours, it's mine. That's what He said. So that's how the Lord fought the day of battle. He divided the enemy, and they fought and they lost. And Israel basically was spared a great destruction. So, again, God's going to do this. God's going to preserve a remnant of Israel. Even half the city is going to be taken. And the houses rifled and the women ravished, the Bible says. And then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations. And He goes on to say there that a remnant will be spared. Well, the nations are all going to once again gather in the beginning of the day of the Lord. They're all going to gather again, including America. And right there is where the treachery is going to be involved with the nations ambushing America. The nations are going to ambush America. And America won't be able to come to Israel's defense. God's the only one that will be able to come to Israel's defense. America's going to be fighting for her life. And by the way, folks, God's not going to spare all of Israel. He's only going to save all spiritual Israel, all who are grafted into the olive tree. He's going to save all Israel. And that's not talking about natural Israel, because if you read Zechariah 14, you find out that God lets the nations conquer Israel until the remnant is threatened. And then he goes and defends Israel. So, yeah, I believe that the Lord is going to divide the nations right there. A major war happens after Armageddon. Armageddon is the beginning of a major, major war. World war, all over the world. Nuclear weapons are fired from nation to nation. God is dividing the nations so that they will destroy each other, so that they will forget about Israel. And, I might add, forget about the church. Because you understand what's been happening is that the nations have all risen up to make war on the Lord and on His anointed. That's what the Bible says in Psalms. And you know what? He's going to save them the same way He saved Israel. These nations are suddenly going to fall out with one another and begin to destroy each other. And the whole world who had been intent on destroying spiritual Israel, which is the church, the whole world has been intent on doing that, is now suddenly the church doesn't mean anything to them. All they want to do is save their own hide.
What about the battle that they talk about in Ezekiel 38 and 39? Is that what we're in right now?
Oh, well, no. The battle that we're going into right now is the one in Jeremiah 25. Everybody's been saying, all the apostate people, just pass on traditions, have been telling us for years and years that the next battle is going to be Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's not true, folks. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. The next battle, we've already started into it, is Jeremiah 25. It's the Middle Eastern nations. This is what's going to force the New World Order, is the stirring up of a major war in the Middle East. And the world is going to cry. I mean, listen, folks, there's going to be nuclear weapons going off over there. The whole world is going to cry peace and safety. Let's have a man of peace. And they're going to put together this dragon, the New World Order. But it's not going to save the world. See, there was something else in my mind to share about that, and I just slipped my mind. What was it? Well, I guess it's because it's getting late, right?
Pastor Bob says that he wishes to talk when you're done, just for a minute.
Oh, well, sure. Come on, Bob.
Well, Darren has a quick comment to make about the olive tree.
Okay.
First.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I wasn't sure if you wanted myself or Pastor Bob to go first. Brother David, and this is for everybody listening in the room, Brother David, you just made a very, as you often do, a very profound statement, and I just wanted to sort of highlight on it, because we have been so mistaught in Christianity for so long. These kind of subtle differences that you're often bringing out need to be stressed almost. They need to kind of like be in capitals so that Christians can catch that. You know, we've been taught in Christianity that Israel is the olive tree, And the truth of it is that Jesus Christ is actually the olive tree. You were saying that natural Israel needs to be grafted into the olive tree. And here in Romans 11, Romans 11 is a profound chapter on the mystery of Israel. And in Romans 11, it says, say verse 15, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead," or the resurrection? "For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy," the root is Jesus Christ, "so are the branches." If the root, "and if some of the branches being broken off," that's natural Israel, "and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree," being Jesus, "boast not yourself against the branches." See how it says branches there? Natural Israel were only branches, and Jesus Christ is the root of Jesse, the olive tree itself. And it's just so often Christians have been taught that wrong concept, that natural Israel was the olive tree. Jesus Christ is actually the olive tree, and they were the branches broken off. We were grafted in as branches. And I just wanted to stress that because, you know, you say these things, and they're probably so second nature to you, but there is so much misconception out there. I just wanted to stress that issue. Thank you for letting me do that. God bless. Here is the mic.
Amen. Amen. The chosen people of God. That's the olive tree, folks. The faithful in the Old Testament, the faithful in the New Testament, whoever stays in that olive tree, that's the ones. They're called all Israel in Romans chapter 11. Not talking about all natural Israel. Talking about all the people that are in that olive tree by faith. Walking by faith in God. Pastor Bob, still want to share something with us?
Yeah.
What happened? All we could hear was static. But then sometimes a lot of static can come out of you, you know?
I didn't say that.
It's all right. Bob's got a good sense of humor. Yes, Bob's been a real blessing to us, folks. I tell you, the Lord sent this brother. He's been broadcasting our pal talk, you know, freely. Blessing us, you know. I wish y'all would bless him because the Lord's going to bless this man with a great ministry to get the gospel out. I tell you, he has a good discernment, good understanding, and a conscience to go with it, you know, because there's so many people out there that don't care. They just want the buck, you know. They don't care what they broadcast, you know. Bob's very particular about what he broadcasts, you know. And the very fact that he's even listening to me tells me that he's got a love for the truth, you know. But he's been a blessing to us, and I'll tell you what, I believe God would bless you if you blessed him, you know, because he freely has been broadcasting our Pal Talk program. And, you know, God, the Bible says, "Give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." So God, I was talking to a guy here recently, I ain't going to tell you his name, but I was trying to convince him that we need to learn how to give and receive rather than buy and sell. And I pointed out to him that that he had to buy everything. He had to buy his broadcast time. He had to pay salaries to his employees. And I was telling him, I says, look what's happened. Got brothers like Bob that actually gave us freely hours of time. And because the Lord spoke to him. And we've got volunteers that are coming to work on our site, work on our everything, just volunteers just coming, you know. See, we're freely receiving because we freely give. You see, folks, you can't outgive God, you know. He's just awesome. How about Bob? Did you get his voice back?
I'm asking him right now. But he did leave us and he sent a note in the room a while ago that I copied. And it was really good. He just said, just a note, we are doubling our bandwidth here to accommodate the listeners on the net. We got whacked with a multitude of listeners and our bandwidth could not take it.
Ah, great.
Lots of listeners. The bandwidth will be updated in the middle of this week as we were informed by our ISP. This will help accommodate the listeners. Thanks. Yeshua tells us that where to cast our net. Our net equals a building.
Yeah.
For provision. That is so much we have no strength to lift it. It will not be too heavy to tear our nets. We got more listeners today with this program than any other we have broadcast. Oh, okay. Okay, I got you. He's back now. Hold on. He's on another computer.
Okay.
I understand it now. Okay. So Pastor Bob is now walking. Can you walk on water? So... now go ahead. Oh, he says he doesn't. Lost his mic again.
Can you hear me? There you go. Now it's working. Technical difficulties. Whoa! Anyway, first of all, let me apologize. And second of all, let me turn down my headset because I can't hear myself think. Anyway, I just wanted to say congratulations, David. Your program is the only one that I've ever had that's knocked me off the internet, okay? We have a pretty good sized bandwidth here. And we got so inundated with listeners that I kept losing my connection. I couldn't even keep the thing online.
Oh, that is a
lot. I mean, fortunately, we pretty much got most of it on the air, okay? Of course, we're going to rebroadcast it anyway. But praise God. It is, in fact, one of the... Let me turn my mic down just a little bit. I'm a little too loud here. Okay, that's better. I can tell you this. We have been inundated... So I was talking to the ISP, and our bandwidth is going to be doubled by about the middle of the week. So by your next program, we should be able to accommodate all the listeners if everything goes right according to the ISP. It's amazing, you know. And I got to tell you, I don't know how many people are listening on the radio. Of course, there's no way of knowing that, but I can tell you this: wow. It's incredible. So we are kind of like our bandwidth will double by the middle of the week. Okay, so that means we'll be able to accommodate more listeners. We got hit with so many listeners at one time that our server couldn't even handle it because of the bandwidth. I've got four servers here, but the bandwidth was not high enough. And so let me congratulate you, first of all, okay? On that, and you deserve a little pat on the back because you are a faithful servant of the Lord. So You know, I'm saying that for that reason. And also, you know, I apologize. I want to apologize to you for losing the bandwidth and going down. Unfortunately, you know, those things do happen. You know, I apologize, but I did not expect to get as many listeners all at one time as we did. It was just incredible, and that's pretty much what happened here. We also had a problem with our firmware. I know you don't understand that, but we had a problem with our firmware for our router, which, of course, actually contributed to a problem as well, which we just fixed. We upgraded the firmware. Even now it's done. And so everything should be hunky-dory by next weekend. In fact, before then, actually, probably by Tuesday or Wednesday of this coming week, if the ISP is being honest with me, but you never know about that. But praise God, you know, we're back online, we're running. I don't think we'll lose our connection after Tuesday or Wednesday. And I wanted to let the people know that. And brother, it's a pleasure to rebroadcast you, because I got to tell you something. You know, whenever a brother's preaching and teaching the truth, you know, the gospel, well, you know what we stand for. If you go on our website, on spirit1.us, the first thing you'll see on there is about how we are about the truth. And that's what we broadcast on our network. You know, we do not broadcast people that are not preaching and teaching the truth. And if we do have somebody on that does, you know, misquote the Bible, and I'm not talking about by mistake, by the way, I'm talking about deliberately, we will hand them back their money if they pay for the airtime and send them out the door. That's one of the reasons why we don't have a whole lot of paying people that pay for the airtime on our ministry, because, to be honest with you, you know, most of them out there are not preaching and teaching the truth. And David, you know, God bless you, brother. You know, you're one of the few. In fact, actually, I almost feel like giving you that Marine thing. You know, you should be one of the few that is definitely one, you know, the proud, I don't mean proud in the flesh, but proud in the Lord, okay? And definitely, you know, you deserve a round of applause. And if I was on my other computer, I could send them to you, but I'm not on my other computer. Unfortunately, the microphone is not attached through that other computer, but I'll take care of that later. But anyway, God bless you, brother. You know, your ministry is a blessing to a lot of people. You can tell by the number of people in your room, and you can certainly tell, if you can't tell by that, you can tell by the number of people that that came on our website to listen. Yeah, we need to go on satellite radio. We're working on that. You know, it costs money and it takes time to do, but we're working on it. We're definitely working on that. Anyway, thank you for the time. I don't want to use up the whole time and whatnot. I just wanted to let everybody know what's going on. And, you know, basically apologize, like I said, for the interruptions with things, because, you know, I didn't expect this, okay? So, you know, but now we know what's going on. We know what we got to deal with, and we're making accommodations for you. David, it's my pleasure to broadcast you, brother. Okay, and you're right about one thing. It's not about money, okay? It's about the truth. Because you can't buy the truth, all right? It's not for sale. It's free. And the ones that are preaching and teaching the truth are the ones that are walking with the Lord. There's a lot of false prophets out there, David. You know that, and I know that. And brother, I want to tell you something. You know, I'm proud to broadcast you, all right? And I mean absolutely proud to broadcast you.
Well, thank you, Bob. You're a blessing yourself. And you're making it possible, so we just give thanks to God for you. I don't take any credit for it, though. That's just the Lord. The Lord is sending the people, and that's great. And by the way, and if you missed parts of it, you can go on American Voice Radio, and it's all archived there. At least that 1 hour is archived, not the rest of the foul talk. I mean, Bob's broadcasting the whole thing, but AVR, American Voice Radio, do a search for it, you'll find it. Or you can go on my site and click on it under radio programs and click on it, and you'll find that they're going to archive it. So you can go back and listen to it.
There's a lot of people saying that the radio program actually sounded better than the PAL talk. I mean, because the sound's not breaking up like, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like he's saying, like Bob's saying, you'll get some more bandwidth in there so that it don't break up, you know. So, thank you, Father. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, We thank you for blessing us, Lord, tonight. We thank you for blessing us to fellowship with larger and larger groups of people. Lord, this is the Colosseum you showed us, Lord. The people that were listening, this larger and larger circles of people coming. We just thank you, Father. It's such an awesome privilege to be blessed to have fellowship with your people. We love them. We know you do. We ask you to continue this work and make it possible. We ask you, Lord, to reach out and touch Brother Bob and meet all of his financial needs, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to... I know that Bob freely gave to us, Lord, many, many hours this week broadcasting different things, different MP3s of ours. And Lord, we're asking you to freely give to him and bless him and pour out abundantly to put together the broadcasting equipment, the broadcasting station that he believes that you have shown him he will have. And we just thank you for that, Father. Also, Lord, he's about to move down south, close to Atlanta, broadcasting station and all. And he don't have a home down there. Got free land given to him, but he don't have a home down there. We ask you, Father, to abundantly supply his need for a home, his need for building his broadcasting station there, so that we can reach out to the world and touch many, many souls with the gospel. We ask you to do that abundantly for Bob and for the kingdom through him. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. We love you. We'll be